Our brother Pat Dew's exhortation this evening is entitled, Man Without God Has No Hope. We don't have a reading, so we'll ask that Brother Pat come forward and we give him our attention.
First of all, I'd like to tell you that I am very pleased to be here with you, each one of you, and I'm glad and happy that each of you came here to this Bible school. And I would encourage you to go home and to your home ecclesias and encourage those there to please try to come to the Bible schools and gatherings. It's very important. So, first of all, what I want to do is kind of tear you down a little and make you realize what you are, and then hopefully what is offered. So turn with me, if you would, to Job 14, please. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Is anybody familiar with that? He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doth thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringeth me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man die and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the spirit. Where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not wake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldest appoint me a time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again. All the days of his appointed time will I wait till my change come. So the title I chose was Man Without God Has No Hope. Yahweh knows that we are but dust. He is the one that made us. He knows our weaknesses, our drawbacks. He knows us individually. The scriptures show us that we have no preeminence over an animal and that we are destitute of inherent holiness, righteousness, immortality, honor, or glory. We are subject to vanity and we are at enmity against God's laws. The grand truth of the Word, the Father's Word, is that man without faith has no hope and will return unto the dust from which he was taken. Man should be a humbled creature, but he's not. Man is proud. He's arrogant. He's argumentative and deceitful above all things. Brothers and sisters, we live now in such a perverted, crooked world. All the leaders of the United States, of the world, they're all just in delusion. They've been turned over to a reprobate mind. So how can we escape? What do we do? There is hope set before us. Set before us is glory, honor, incorruptibility, and everlasting life. Do we really want it enough to go for it? The reward will be given to the good and faithful servants of God. One who has formed a character that would be acceptable and in harmony with what our Father wants of us. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. The 15th chapter. Third chapter. Third chapter, 1 Corinthians. And back up, to the second chapter, verse 9. And that's where I would like to start reading. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God, or Yahweh, has prepared for them that love him. That's a wonderful scripture there to read. Let's just keep reading. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now it said there, no man knows the Spirit is in him, but himself. So, do you really know yourself? Do you really know yourself? Sometimes you begin to wonder if you do. I do. Because you will do things that you wouldn't think you would do. Reading on. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God or Yahweh, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, or we should have the mind of Christ. Also turn with me to Isaiah 65, which is in connection with this. These are some wonderful passages, something that we can look forward to. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. You know, that's comforting right there. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Wonderful thoughts there. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. A couple more verses here. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Now, how wonderful it would be to be there when this happens, to be in the kingdom of God. We will be truly able to serve the Lord in righteousness then. So, we should be glad and we should rejoice. For we have come here this week to be together and to study these things and to think on them and to realize that we have an opportunity. In Hebrews 6, we are told not to be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and by patience inherit the promises. These promises are confirmed by an oath from God, Yahweh, to Abram. And then they are extended to us. This is a divine oath. It's unchangeable. By two immutable things. First, the divine oath. For it is impossible for God to lie. And by the confirmation of that oath. This was confirmed to Abraham by the dividing of animal sacrifices in Genesis 15:17. After the going down of the sun, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. This covenant promised Abraham the land for an everlasting possession. Brothers and sisters, this is available to us. Paul says in Romans 15:8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm those promises made unto the fathers. But at this time, they have not received those promises. They are still both dead and buried. But they saw them afar off. Brothers and sisters, do you see them afar off? Is that what you have set your goal for? Are you looking forward to it? Are these promises really, really and truly what you are pressing forward for? Or do you think you can just move along casually, hoping to be accepted and forgiven and, you know, just not much to it? Just where the world would think that that would be the case. The world also thinks, they believe that John 3:16, that's what they believe, that, you know, it's nothing you have to do, just believe that God is and that Jesus is God and all that kind of stuff. But we know better. So let's just look over there at John 3. Talk about it for a second. John 3. Looking at verse 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so, the Son of Man be lifted up. And that references us to Numbers 21, when the children of Israel were stricken by a serpent, and if they were bitten, they would die. And Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, and if they would look unto that serpent, then they would be healed by their faith of looking up. You know, when we look up to Christ, and we comply, then that's our hope, you know, that we will come from the dead. And anyway, reading verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if we continue on, we look into these verses a little deeper, we can understand that man is doubly damned, you know, in his natural state. First, because he is born of the flesh, sin and condemnation, and second, because of unbelief of the gospel. Jesus actually being the Son of Yahweh, not God the Son. We must understand that we can receive nothing except it be given to us from God through Christ. And that is by coming into the light of understanding So I want to read on there in John a little bit, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, or Yahweh. So men must change. We must change. Men must change from their natural state of condemnation. There must be a change in our position. A change in our character, our natural character, has to be changed. Jesus said, he that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. Also, he says, observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So, what are these things? They're styled the glad tidings of the gospel. That in the fullness of time, a purification sacrifice should be manifested, who should be cut off, but not for himself only, who should be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who would be despised, one upon whom the iniquity of all should be laid, and him being stricken for the transgression of Israel, who would make his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, but that his dead body should not see corruption, as we will see corruption, and who would ascend to the right hand of God, Yahweh, until his enemies be his footstool, then sit on his throne of glory, that his Father will give unto him. And where will that be? We all know. Right here, on the face of this earth in Jerusalem. That is our hope. Our hope is that we will have a part in this righteous kingdom. Brothers and sisters, don't think it's a free gift to you. Although God gives it freely, it's not free on your part. Just because you know this and have been baptized for the removal of condemnation and for the remission of past sins, don't think that we automatically are going to be given eternal life. These things are only a way for us to become qualified for a resurrection. First, after baptism, we are then on probation. Now just consider yourself as you think about this. Just think about it. You're on probation. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? I can't answer that for you. You have to answer it for yourself. So what is probation? What's it for? It's to see if we can develop a character that would be approved of when we stand at the judgment seat, to see if we are fit to partake in this kingdom. So we must develop the fruits of the Spirit and serve Him to the best of our ability as we continue our path or our probation towards righteousness. Let us remember what James said in James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That's a sobering thought. It should be. If you offend in one point, then you're guilty of the whole thing. James 1:2. This verse is a very good verse. I like it. It's on my door when you come in the house. I need to read it more often than I do. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, and we are all tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So, what is it to love the Lord? How do we do it? Look at John 14. John 14. A couple of little verses here I'd like to read. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, that is not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we can come unto him and make our abode with him. So simple, plain language there. To love the Father is to keep his commandments. Are we doing it? Do we do it? This is a question that we must answer. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. I hear people say, I love the Lord, I love Jesus, you know, but they don't know. They don't know who they're talking about. Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. This must be what we want. It's what we desire. To be loved of the Father. And His Son. So turn over to Psalms, if you would, to 25th chapter. Verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. If we run into some trouble, folks, let's trust in the Lord to pull us out of that trouble. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Of course, we're supposed to ask all these things in Christ's name. What a blessed hope we have, brothers and sisters. Paul said in Philippians 3, brethren, forget those things which are behind. There's nothing we can do about what has happened, what we have done. We must move forward. We must be reaching forth unto those things which are before and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Let us be each thus minded. Let us each look forward. Let us each look to our Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We must strive together with much prayer and ask our Father to forgive us of our sins, our mistakes, our shortcomings. We are to lay aside every weight, every sin which does so easily beset us. We have to do this. We've got to lay aside all the things that burden us or our fleshly desires. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us and look to the joy that will be given to us by the mercy of our Father, and looking towards Jesus, for he is the author and finisher of our faith. Look at, now you don't even have to look it up. I'll read it right here. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently for the grace of God by following that which is good, and that none, no, not one of us, should render evil for evil. You know we are. When somebody says something to us, and I'm probably one of the best there is to bite back really quick. But we need to try to resist that and not render evil for evil in our words or in any situation that we come upon. Grace is something that the Lord offers to us that is powerful. None of us would have hope if it wasn't for the grace the Lord has shown unto us. So in Ephesians we read, it's 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. This grace is given to us by our Father. It is a gift of grace. We will receive this grace if we have obeyed and produced good works and good fruits by persevering and pressing forward in our faith and holding on to the one true faith that we have. You know, we believe that Yahweh will do what he says he will do. Will you receive the reward of life, or will you not? It's up to you if you want it. Turn with me over to Titus, if you would. 1-9 I want to read. Titus 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, especially me, disobedient, especially me, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God may be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Also, another good verse I picked out was just a couple of verses in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last two verses. This is very good verses that we should all think about. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I have to end this exhortation, I have an insert that goes along with this. It's by Robert Roberts, and I'd like to read that. God knows our drawbacks of living in the midst of a frightful desolation. Let us not despair. We have His Word, which is both a light and a fertilizer. Keeping close to it in daily reading, we should be kept from evil and grow into conformity with its noble spirit of enlarged devoutness, notwithstanding the deforming blight that reigns in all the world, but the power of the Scriptures, that the protection of God, we shall be preserved in the universal corruption and be prepared for the glory of God in that gladsome and glorious day of which the Psalms provide a glimpse, a day when He will set the poor on high from affliction and place them in families like a flock, when the righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Then shall the earth be invited to sing a song to the Lord, and then shall come a joyful response from its purified population. Blessed in all their families in Abraham and his seed, then shall the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad, the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Then shall the floods clap their hands and the hills be joyful together before the Lord who cometh to judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening to me.